What would make you happy? Would winning the lottery? How about the perfect husband or wife? Would you define happiness as plastic surgery to give you a supermodel face or a new body? Or a new job? Would that really make you happy? Happiness is something all of us desire, but it seems elusive. We can spend our entire lives in pursuit of happiness and never find it. Is it even possible to be truly happy? Join us today for part two of Searching for Happiness on Good News Radio.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Today on Good News Radio, we join Gary Petty at a seminar in San Antonio, Texas, as he talks about the search for happiness.
To understand your purpose in life gives life meaning even in suffering, because there's a promise of being glorified. The kingdom of God becomes our goal. That this life is preparation for something so much greater than this. But you know, without that future, I'll tell you what life becomes. It becomes grabbing what you can today, because that's all there is. And once you do that, you begin to become unhappy. Because you will be happy if you're partying tonight and you drink enough booze. You'll be happy for 3 or 4 hours with your friends. And then you'll wake up tomorrow morning with a hangover and you'll be unhappy again. And then by noon, you'll go see a movie with somebody and you'll be happy for a couple hours. And when the movie's over, you'll feel depressed and you'll be unhappy again. And happiness will be snatched in little short periods of time because there's no meaning or purpose and there's no future. Viktor Frankl writes that the prisoner who had lost faith in the future, his future, was doomed. With his loss of belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hold. Notice he lost his spiritual hold because he said that's what kept people alive, was their belief in God and that they had a specific purpose. He let himself decline and became subject to mental and physical decay. Usually this happened quite suddenly in the form of a crisis, the symptoms of which were familiar to the experienced camp inmate. They would say, he won't make it another couple of days. They could look at a man who was more healthy than the rest, but they could tell by his lack of purpose how long he would last. Our purpose is in the future and what God is doing. You know, once you accept the gospel, once you accept that what God is doing through his son, Jesus Christ, you understand there's a wonderful, incredible future and that there's an incredible potential that each one of us has right now. But that potential isn't in discovering somehow how to make yourself happy. It's in discovering who you're becoming, who you are becoming. That as a flawed human being, you need to become like Christ in order to be in his kingdom. And so with that purpose, you are driven to become Christ-like. You know, any church that doesn't have its the people who attend that church, if they're not filled with a desire to be Christ-like, then that church will become a social club. Or it'll become a place of politics and strife and griping. It will become a lot of things, but it will not be a place filled with the kingdom of God, the knowledge and the gospel of the kingdom of God. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Here, once again, the Apostle Paul. Some of you are thinking, I thought he was going to talk about happiness. This is the only way. You have to understand that your viewpoint of life to be driven, I'm going to make myself happy, won't work. But you can become happy by becoming a certain kind of person. Colossians 3 verse 1. If you were raised with Christ, in other words, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you accept the God of the Bible as your Father, so you were raised with Him, you go through a sort of a death. The old person is striving and fighting just, I've got to be happy no matter what it takes. If I got to steal from you, that's what I'll do to be happy. If I got to lie, that's what I'll do to be happy. If I've got to cheat, that's what I'll do to be happy. That old person dies and a new person has begun to be formed. And this is the purpose of the Christian life. It's to become somebody else than who you were. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, here's the keys, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You have to have a different set of priorities. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, he talks about the future, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death. Now you think, okay, I want to be happy. And the Apostle Paul says, okay, now let's kill all these things. You have to kill these things. You have to destroy them. Therefore, put to death the members which are on earth: fornication, obsession with sex, sexual activity outside of marriage, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived with them. He says to Christians here, he says, you know what that's like because you used to be that way. Unfortunately, as Christians, we're too much still that way. And we're not experiencing the potential that God has for us now in this life. He says, but now you must put away all of these things. Anger. Remember, one of the symptoms, if we walk around in anger all the time, we're just bitter, then there's something wrong with us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. He says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Now, if we find ourselves that we just lie, we love lying, we love slander, we love to hear the bad. He says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. He said, that old person is dying. It has to die. If you ever want to have any kind of real peace, that old person has to die. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, according to the image of God. You and I were made in the image of God, but we're an incomplete creation. God isn't done with us yet. We have to let that creation be completed. It's not done yet. God has given each one of us gifts, our own unique personality. Each one of us has a purpose as a child of God.
You can experience real happiness. We'll be back to explain how with Gary Petty in San Antonio, Texas, right after this message.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
And now, back to Gary Petty at a presentation in San Antonio, Texas.
Now, a second element that Viktor Frankl happened to discover in his time in the Nazi concentration camps is this. Let me read from his book, Man's Search for Meaning. The experience of camp life shows that man does have a choice of action. There are enough examples, often of a heroic nature, which prove that apathy could be overcome, irritability suppressed. Man can preserve a vestige of spiritual freedom, of independence of mind, even in such terrible conditions of psychic and physical stress. Now, he's not talking about you and I having trouble driving in traffic. Okay? You understand? He's not talking about, oh, well, we're having a bad day at work. Or he's not talking about the fact that you only had a short time for lunch and the waitress didn't bring you your food, so you had to gobble it down in 5 minutes. We're talking about eating a couple ounces of bread and some kind of white liquid that was made out of potatoes, and you get that once a day. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about going out every day while it's still dark and working all day long in snow with no toes in your shoes and getting the tar beat out of you just because the prisoner who was over you got chewed out by an SS guard, and because he knows that SS guard will shoot him, he comes and beats the tar out of you. Or it's that day that you just happen to be standing there with a couple of friends, and one of the SS guards who wants to make sure everybody's afraid of him walks up and shoots your friend in the head just for the fun of it. That's what we're talking about. And he says, in all that, he says, I could still choose. I could still choose. We who live in concentration camps can remember the men who walk through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. The most important mental health principle is purpose in life, and God gives that to us. The second is, we choose our attitude. We choose to be negative or angry and accusative and bitter. Or we choose not to be, but we choose. There are always choices to make every day, every hour, offering the opportunity to make a decision. This is Viktor Frankl. A decision which determined whether you would or would not submit to those powers which threatened to rob you of your very self, of your inner freedom, which determined whether or not you would become the plaything of circumstance. And that's what unhappiness is. We become the plaything of circumstance, renouncing freedom and dignity to become molded into the form of the typical inmate. And the typical inmate would do anything to survive. In other words, he goes on to say, it's what you became spiritually that was the most important thing. We're talking about five components of what it is to have a healthy attitude, a healthy approach to life. Now, interesting enough, I'm going to use the Bible to support most of these. Dr. Frankl mentions all these things as elements of a healthy mental and emotional person. First, we have to take responsibility for our own lives. Nobody can be emotionally or mentally or spiritually healthy as long as we blame everybody else for our problems. We must take responsibility for ourselves. Happiness isn't found by concentrating on yourself. It is discovered by realizing there is objective truth. There is truth that is outside ourselves. And it is that truth that we must find, that is given to us by God, that tells us how life works. And sometimes that has nothing to do with how we think or feel. In fact, many times it's the opposite of how we think or feel. Viktor Frankl wanted to hate Germans. Viktor Frankl ended up being a character witness for some Germans in their trials after the war. Because he said some of them weren't evil. He said, so if they were going to try and eat one that wasn't evil, he says, I went and stood up for him. Can you imagine that? Some Hungarian Jews, when they went into Auschwitz, who had been sort of disciples of Viktor Frankl, one of the commandants of Auschwitz had ran out and hidden in some woods because the Americans came in and took the camp. These Hungarian Jews came and said to the American commander, we're going to go get that commandant. We'll bring him to you if you promise not to hurt him. Of course, I imagine the Americans thought they're going to go kill that guy, so they let him all go. They went out in the woods and brought the guy back and said, you promised not to hurt him. You see, this guy had never hurt anybody. He had never hurt anybody. And so, because these young men had realized what Dr. Frankl was saying is true, they brought him back. We ended up putting him in charge of that particular camp again. He was put back in charge of the camp, and they responded to him because he chose not to hate people. He didn't live in a Pollyannish world. The people who did evil things should suffer for their evil deeds. He had no problem with that. But a paper pusher who never did anything bad to anybody should not. Because in many ways, he was just as much a victim as they were. Now, what a viewpoint of life. What a viewpoint of life. Take responsibility. Happiness is discovered in relating to other people. Happiness is discovered in work that uses your talents. It is ultimately discovered in a relationship with your Creator. Point two, Philippians 4:8. Apostle Paul tells us one of the most important aspects of happiness. It is easier to say, I'll be happy if you fill in the blank, and you will never be happy. You only become happy by approaching life a certain way. It's an attitude towards life, even in the bad times. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Do you realize that if in the United States that verse was simply obeyed by the press, every network's news department would shut down. Every newspaper would shut down. Every magazine would shut down. Whatever things are good, these are what we think about. But what we do is we fill our minds every day with the impure, with the untrue. We don't even know if something's true. We don't check it out if it's true. If it fits what we like, bang, we believe it. We walk around with that knot in our stomach because we're just upset. We don't even know if it's true or not, but it doesn't matter because we're not interested in truth. We're not interested in truth. We're interested in somehow pleasing ourselves. We please ourselves. So we love the ignoble. We love the unjust. We love the impure. We love the things that are ugly. We love the things that are of bad report. You know, things of good report. In other words, I'm only going to think about things that I wouldn't mind telling somebody if they asked me, what are you thinking about? That's what I'm going to think about. He says, meditate on these things. Think on these things. The only way you're ever going to be happy is you learn to control your thoughts. You say, no, happiness is an emotion. Feelings come and go from a variety of reasons, and you can't always control your feelings. You can control your thoughts, and you choose what to think. You cannot always choose what to feel. You can't always choose what to feel. The human body's just wired that way. But you can choose what to think, and eventually what you think will change what you feel. So much of unhappiness is because of our thought processes. But since we have a bad self-image, we don't see ourselves as the children of God. We see ourselves as human beings trying to grab happiness. We continue the same destructive patterns. And we continue to fail.
Gary Petty will explore more about how to find real happiness, so don't go away.
Frankly, life just isn't working for some people. Maybe you have noticed the incredible proliferation of self-help books on store and library bookshelves. You may not realize that most families already own the best self-help book ever published. Millions of copies have been printed, and it's been translated into hundreds of languages. Its words have been around for thousands of years. This book is your Bible. The sponsors of this radio program have put together a booklet titled Making Life Work that helps you make sense out of life. It's filled with practical, down-to-earth advice from the pages of your Bible. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Making Life Work. There is no cost or obligation, and it may change your life for the better. Ask for your free copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
And now, back to Gary Petty at a presentation in San Antonio, Texas.
The third point, Titus, chapter 1. Once again, we go back to the Apostle Paul. Titus, chapter 1, verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. He says there are lots of people who profess to know God, but their motives are wrong. They may be very religious, but their motives are wrong. The third point is a purity of motives. If we're simply motivated by what we can get, or what kind of status we can have, or what kind of whatever that we look on is important to us, what kind of money we can get, if that's what motivates us, if we're always motivated to pursue our own agenda of happiness, and that's how we deal with other people. That's what we do. We have an impurity of motives. You will never be happy because you will turn every situation into an unhappy one. You want to doom your marriage? Go into your marriage totally motivated that person is going to make you happy. You know, in a healthy relationship, you find happiness and experience happiness in the other person, right? But the quickest way to destroy a relationship is, I want this person, and this person is going to make me happy. It is your responsibility to make me happy. That person can't win after that point. I don't care what he or she does. They will eventually lose. Because even if they become your slave 24 hours a day, they will never do everything exactly the way you want. And so you will be unhappy. A purity of motives brings about happiness. If we suffer unhappiness all the time and strife all the time, and bitterness all the time. Then you have to ask, what are my motives? What is motivating me to do what I do? A fourth point is thankfulness. We can either concentrate on what we don't have, or we can thank God for what we do have. As Viktor Frankl said, even in the bleak, gray death of Auschwitz, sometimes you would stop and look at a sunset and say, isn't that beautiful? And the prisoners who couldn't see in the beauty of it usually became just as depraved or more depraved than the SS guards. The ones who couldn't see the beauty in a flower in the springtime, in the dull gray of that time when winter is about over, in the mud and a flower. The prisoners who could see the beauty in the flower saw things differently. The others became just as depraved as the society around them. Human nature is amazing. We will adapt to almost anything, and we will become like our environment. And that's what happened. But as Viktor Frankl says, don't judge them too hard. Unless you've been in a concentration camp, you have no right. You have really no right. And we don't. And then the fifth one. Eventually, real mental and emotional and spiritual health depends on the ability to love. To give of ourselves unselfishly to others. See, there's the problem. If all of our relationships are based on me being satisfied, me being made happy, you can't love. You're only being motivated by a need to be loved. That's why we tell young people, be very, very careful about getting married too young. Because usually young people get married not because they really love each other, but because they both have a need to be loved. So they both end up frustrated and upset because they really can't do that. Somebody's got to be unselfish here for that to work. When both are driven by their own needs to be loved, you can't solve anything. Ultimately, that is what's real mental, emotional, and spiritual health is. It's the ability to love, to give of our time and resources to others unselfishly. Before being shipped off to the death camps, Viktor Frankl had written down his life's work. He didn't have any children, so what he wanted to do, he wanted to make sure something survived. So he'd written a book, and he sewed it in the inside of his coat. He figured no matter where he went then, he would have his life's work with him. I want to read to you what he said for him was the most, he calls it the deepest experience of being in a concentration camp. Let me recall that which was perhaps the deepest experience I had in the concentration camp. The odds of surviving the camp were no more than 1 in 28, as can easily be verified by exact statistics. 27 out of 28 people who went into concentration camps and the work camps never made it. Of course, most of them were just herded off and put into gas chambers. They were killed immediately. It did not even seem possible, let alone probable, that the manuscript of my first book, which I had hidden in my coat when I arrived in Auschwitz, would ever be rescued. Thus I had to undergo and to overcome the loss of my mental child. Now it seemed as if nothing and no one would survive me, neither a physical nor a mental child of my own. So I found myself confronted with the question whether under such circumstances my life was ultimately void of any meaning. He said, I was going to die here. I had no children. My wife was gone. My family's gone. And now my life's work, which had given him such meaning, helping and loving other people as a doctor. And he said, now it was gone because they took his coat. And what they gave him was an old tattered coat from another prisoner. Not yet that I noticed that an answer to this question with which I was wrestling so passionately was already in store for me. And that soon thereafter, this answer would be given to me. He says the answer came. It didn't come from him. It came from God, he feels. This was the case when I had to surrender my clothes and in turn inherit the worn out rags of an inmate who had already been sent to the gas chamber immediately after his arrival at the Auschwitz railway station. Instead of the many pages of my manuscript, I found in a pocket of the newly acquired coat one single page torn out of a Hebrew prayer book containing the most important Jewish prayer, the Shema Yisrael. Remember, O Israel, the Lord God, your Lord God is one God. How should I have interpreted such a coincidence other than a challenge to live my thoughts instead of merely putting them on paper? And so that's what he did. His life now had no meaning. It was void of everything, including his work. And he realized that the purpose of his life was to live his thoughts. The Bible says we are to learn to become Christ-like, to think like Christ and live those thoughts. God has created you for a purpose. He wants you to be his child. He has a future planned for you. All those elements are already in place. He has an eternal plan for you after this life. In fact, this life is just getting ready for that one. But you know, there is no bluebird of happiness that you and I go capture and put into a cage, and then he just gives us happiness. Happiness is a result. It is a byproduct. And the more you try to make it the center of your life, the more unhappy you will be. Happiness is the result of a relationship with God, where you have both discovered the true purpose for your life and then are developing, because it's who we're becoming, you are developing an attitude that instead of being self-centered, we are learning to love.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.